You're listening to the Lost Chill podcast with Katie and Kimmy. For years now, I have had the pleasure of listening to the wit, banter, and pure joy from these two, and now I invite you to share in the delight of listening to them discuss the books they're currently reading. Whether you are a fellow dedicated bibliophile or simply wish you had more time to read, you will love hearing the insight and discussions around the stories they dive into. So grab a cup of coffee or pour a glass of wine and let's jump on in. Katie and Kimmy, take it away.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Lost Chill podcast. I'm Katie.
And I'm Kimmy, and we are your lovely hosts here to talk about all things book.
And this week, all things Chris and Hannah. Have you ever read a book by her?
You know, maybe one or two or five, I don't know, casual. What about you?
Yeah. Chris and Hannah holds a special place in the Lost Chill's heart because The Four Winds was one of the first books that we pretty much reviewed on this show.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Oh gosh, and what, like, it just provokes such strong feelings that we, like, I feel like it's one of the books we remember the most because it was such good discussion.
It was. And that was also a book that we didn't really even necessarily agree upon either.
Yeah, I remember making you cry. Just kidding. I blew your mind a little bit.
You did. That's okay. And maybe you'll do that tonight too. I think I'm going to surprise the shit out of you, but that's fine.
I'm so intrigued.
Yeah. So intrigued. We just finished reading The Women, which is Chris and Hannah's newest book, all about Frankie's expedition, we'll call it. Expedition into Vietnam. Expedition Everest.
I mean, I don't think it was quite that fun, but
it was definitely not a fun expedition. Who says expeditions have to be fun?
I thought they were more exploratory. I don't feel like she was really exploring.
Maybe you're right with that. Maybe expedition isn't the best word, but her experiences in Vietnam as a nurse, as one of the very few and far between women that saw combat, but she doesn't call it combat. I call it combat. But
well, it's crazy to me, especially for us, the whole way that they were treated for, like, her not seeing combat. I feel like we, of all people who read this, might have, like, such a better understanding because we experience basically super similar trauma with our jobs without actually being there, quote unquote. And we understand the toll it takes. Because Katie and I, we met when we were both first responders as emergency dispatchers, which she still is. I am no longer in that line of work. But it was a huge thing. It's a huge push that they're still working on laws to categorize.
I have really great news.
As first responders. Yes, Caitlin?
Tomorrow. I don't even know what day tomorrow is.
March 15th.
Colorado is officially signing into law that dispatchers will be first responders. As of tomorrow, the governor will be signing that into law, and I will be going down to the Capitol to see that signing.
You're so precious.
Yeah.
So. I love that. So that is, like, just to say even furthermore for how Katie and I especially, like, we understand that you don't necessarily have to be on the literal front lines to be affected the same way. Like, we are probably even less than Frankie, honestly, except you go out sometimes now. But a lot of times it's very much just via the phone and you're just hearing this. I'm like, so no, you're not seeing it. You're not physically there, but you can still be so traumatized by that. And you still make such a difference and do so much.
And that's such a great point. I didn't even put that two and two together, that maybe that's why I totally thought that she was, you know, I considered it combat when she was like, it's not combat. I didn't see, because I think that somebody actually directly asked her at one point, did you see combat? And she was like, well, no. And I'm like, girl, you did.
Especially, they were bombing your hospital. Right. You just had to turn the lights on and do surgery on the floor.
Right. And it was like, that was normal for her for so long.
Right.
I don't know.
Oh, gosh, I was just crying. I finished that book today.
Me too.
Oh, good.
Actually, about an hour ago.
That's funny. That's good stuff. Yes, life is crazy.
Yeah.
So this whole story I thought was pretty incredible just to go through. Like, it's called The Women. The main focus is one woman. Frankie McGrath, but she obviously crosses paths and helps talk to and leans on and has lots of other women friends. So it's, like, not solely about her, but we don't really get any other perspectives at all. So it was crazy. I feel like the craziest part, though, which I think is just like a huge point that this book is making, was it's, you know, so much of it, the focus is on war and Vietnam War. Like, it's never not the focus. The craziest part isn't even actually being in a war zone. It's almost being home was the more
Oh
shocking
yeah.
and disturbing part, I think.
Yeah. She experienced a lot of what, unfortunately, I think a lot of soldiers and military personnel deal with once they come home from a war zone. And it was really, unfortunately, it was really hard to read. I've had some firsthand experiences with PTSD in my family and being married to somebody who had that and or who I assume still has that. So that was actually very real for me because I had those same experiences with without getting into too much detail because it's not my story to tell but with finding a person I was married to on the floor reliving experiences from Iraq and it was very similar to what she was experiencing which was kind of crazy because it was almost I don't want to say validating because it wasn't something that I was personally going through but it was like okay so this wasn't normal either but it definitely happened to more than just one person you know what I mean so
And I do feel like we learned so much about the effect of war on mental health from Vietnam War, like we as a collective people. And so I think that was especially interesting. And it's something that happens a lot in mental health, I think, where she couldn't talk about it almost or was too ashamed to talk about it. So she felt like she was alone in that. And I feel like we see that a lot. And like it, like this was a big kickoff of it because it was so many people were affected, but we're still seeing it all the time with like motherhood and postpartum depression and how you can feel so ashamed to be having those thoughts or those feelings when you're supposed to be so excited for the new life you created kind of thing. And you're like, it's kind of crazy. And then when you hear about it, when you hear how many moms do have intrusive thoughts or have these scary things going on, you're like, I literally thought I was crazy and I was so ashamed I couldn't talk about it.
I think that that stigma is hopefully turning the other way now, but it's still there, certainly. And this is, you know, almost 50 years later, and mental health is still, there's still a pretty big stigma around it, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think we're at such a great like time. It's not going to be forever because like we, as we said, we've both been first responders, but we have seen such a huge, it feels like poor taste to use the word explosion, but oh God, but it feels like an explosion of availability of mental health for first responders, for all these people, for people like we just see psychologists left and right because we've been in that world who deal specifically with veterans and first responders and like has become such a specialty. And so there's still a huge stigma about it, but it's like so insane the fact of how available it is now. And how much they do make it open to people, and how much they are realizing, like, at least the times I've seen, no one's writing someone off. I mean, obviously, there are male and female, you know, firefighters and police officers and dispatchers, but no one is like, I mean, I don't ever see the sexism in that aspect of like, oh, there's no female cops like she saw in the book, but I am seeing like, no one's like, oh, you're just a dispatcher, you're just a civilian, and doing that. They're making it open to everyone, which I think is so awesome.
Let's talk about the boys in this book. I know it's the women, but let's talk about the boys in this book. What did you think about rye? Oh, let me rephrase that
He
question.
wants to be rye whiskey. That boy's rye bread. Just throw him in the trash.
Rye bread is gross for the record.
Yeah.
What let me rephrase that question. What did you specifically think about rye before you realized what that jerk had done? Did you like him? I did
Yes, I
too.
did.
I did too.
So the other thing, just to like tie everything that I've been obsessed with together lately, one thing that was super crazy to me was I just read The Bolter, which that was about like how society and this whole woman's family kind of exiled her because she had like five divorces. Like, oh, so scandalous. But so much of that book talked about it was the British society and during multiple wars and just how promiscuous they were, especially in high society. And they were like, they preferred, they didn't mind if you had affairs as long as you were discreet about it. And the other big no-no was you had to have affairs with other married people because they were married, so there wasn't as much risk of them breaking up your marriage because they're going to keep their marriage together. So the big no-no was affairs with single younger people who would want to take you away and want you to get divorced so they could marry you.
That's pretty
And
scandalous.
it was scandalous. And like that wasn't even her. That was just like the whole culture was talking about. And a lot of it, they actually talked about both world wars in there. But they were talking about how, like, the girls just had to make the boys worth their while, and they never knew if they might die. So they couldn't let the chance pass them by, and they were just all hooking up left and right. And so a part of me, like, was thinking, like, I don't know. I haven't looked that much into it. Like, is this really the British culture more so, even though they, like, wanted to be discreet? It was still happening. Like, obviously, it still happens in America, but it was just so much crazier with that happening. And the other interesting thing to me in The Bolter, and that's a nonfiction book about Idina Sackville. She had a bunch of husbands. Most were British or Scottish, technically. But they were all having affairs and she was having affairs. And it would like just end for like almost other reasons. The one American she married was the only one who got jealous and was like trying to shoot all her the boys she was having affairs with. And so I'm like, so is monogamy a super American thing, or like it was kind of mind blowing. So, like, that was kind of something I was thinking about in this book, too, because it was talked about how she was the good girl this whole time. Frankie in The Women was this good girl, and she was a good Catholic girl, and she didn't want to mess around with anyone who was married and that kind of thing. And it was just interesting to me. Because I'm not saying what's wrong or right, but I can see in war times with people dying constantly, how people might want to put their morals aside and live for the moment if they think they might actually die tomorrow. You know
She
what I
kind
mean?
of did at one point where, I mean, with Rye, she was losing her virginity in Hawaii, and she's like, "What? You know, I don't know if tomorrow's promised." And that sort of
Right,
almost
right.
twisted her arm in that.
And I don't think she would have, though, if she knew he was married.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah. And so, again, it's like it is. So I guess it is, you're right, that some of that mindset, but not fully for her. But it is just super interesting to me.
It's very interesting. And she was definitely of a different class than he was as well. And I think that that is even more interesting with what you're saying about with the Bolter, because that was something that she was so against, but like he obviously had no problem with it.
Oh my gosh, it makes me so mad the way he like worded things to lie to her, you
About
know.
like when he said,
So
I go
I'm
ahead.
not engaged
In Hawaii again.
because he was married. Ooh.
Or I can,
Rage.
I will love you until I die or something
I'm
like
afraid I'll love you until I die.
I'm
Yeah.
afraid I'll love you until I die. Yeah, that was rough. In
It was rough.
hindsight, it's like, oh yeah, Did you know that he was going to be a POW?
No.
No, okay. I was hoping, I didn't know that both him and Jamie would be POW.
I thought Jamie would be okay, but I did forget about him for a long part.
I did not forget about him because I really liked him for whatever reason. In my mind, I pictured him as the guy from Grey's Anatomy, the redhead. You know who I'm talking about? Who Christina's initial boyfriend, she was going to marry him.
Wait,
The
what was
Irish
he?
guy.
But oh,
You know who I'm talking about? I
yes.
can't think of his name.
I can't think of his name. It's been so long since I've watched that.
Me too. And he's still actually, I think, on the show because I've seen him on commercials recently. But that's who I pictured in my head as Jamie. And
Oh,
so I
precious.
really liked him, even though he wasn't, I don't know.
I liked him too, but I didn't get attached to him yet. He did great things, but like when you think about it, of the like stuff that stuck with her, Jamie said something, and that was when they were already gone, like already in Vietnam. What was it, like, be brave or no fear, McGrath?
No fear, McGrath. Yeah.
So he said that stayed with her forever. But Rye also said something, and like he was the one who set her off on that track because he told her that women can be heroes too.
Which I also loved, and that's why I loved him. Damn it.
The
He really pissed me off. I did not see that coming.
second betrayal.
Yes.
We all trusted him twice.
I didn't see either betrayal coming. Honestly, because I was like, oh my gosh, what is she gonna do? Like, she's gonna meet him at the plane,
Oh
and
my
then
gosh.
she's gonna have to explain that to her fiance. And what is she gonna do? Who's she gonna choose? She has this baby, blah, 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 blah. Lo and behold, she doesn't have to choose because he's a dirty, cheating bastard.
That was so upsetting. So upsetting. And did you also catch the part? I'm smiling because it's bringing me back to the secrets we kept, but it's also the worst thing ever possible. So I really want to cry. The part where she tried to blame her miscarriage on that betrayal.
Yes.
And that was devastating because if you remember in the secrets we kept, Laura Sorry, it took me a minute to think of it, but then I remember it's the same character as in Dr. Zhivago and the author. Laura was in a their labor camps. I forget what they're called, but she's in their labor camps, and they told her that her Boris Pasternak had been killed, and so she had a miscarriage, and like blamed that depression, and it was kind of like a way to manipulate and torture her. And so this was just a different kind of betrayal, was in a different kind of grief that she thought triggered her miscarriage. And so when I first read that, I like thought about it and like just how powerful emotions can be and how like physically heartbreaking and just and everything. And then it did later come in that she believed that it was probably more likely Agent Orange and that a lot of them were dealing with that. But my first initial reaction that was speculated from her, from Frankie, was the grief.
Yeah, and I think that unfortunately with a miscarriage, because usually you don't really know the reason why behind it, you're just looking to place that blame. I've had a miscarriage before. I was totally looking to place that blame and find something tangible to be mad at. And I mean, that was
Well,
there for her. It was a happening at the same exact time.
yeah. Did you ever hear the Taylor Swift song Bigger Than the Whole Sky?
If I did, I don't remember it.
Like, she's not commenting about it. It's on Midnight's, the 3 a.m. extended edition. Like, she's never like confirmed or denied, but a lot of people speculate that it is about miscarriage. And the whole verse was like, did some force take you because I didn't pray? Did some bird flap its wings over in Asia? Like, it's like, what could have caused this horrible thing? And I think anytime something that traumatic does happen, it's just human nature to ask and wonder why, and to think. I think that kind of also makes you think that in another life it could have been different and something could have changed it.
Absolutely. It was a very heavy book, but this was the first Kristen Hannah book that did not make me sit in a corner and bawl my eyes out. I did not cry
Really?
once.
I was a little weepy all day today as I was finishing it, but about to have a little monthly visitor. And so I was like, I'm a tough, strong woman. It's just my monthly visitor.
Women can be heroes too.
And so who knows? Who knows
Yeah.
if
It's
I
very strange. I expected this book to wreck me, and it did not. I don't know. It
And it
was,
was really heavy
it
and
was.
pretty dark too. Like, even just thinking about like the ways that they handle things when people were suicidal. Because, mental health holds are still a thing, but at the same time, like, I don't know, it's not, that was
Yours
rough.
seemed very successful, though, and I don't feel like they all are.
No,
You
absolutely
know, I
not.
feel like that was probably the one thing, the one critique that I would have, that that maybe wasn't portrayed in the best or most realistic way.
Right, that once she got actual help, there was no further relapse.
Correct. Yeah. That it's like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what I needed. And I don't feel like, I feel 9 times out of 10, it's the exact opposite way, that it's going to take 7 more relapses and,
Right.
you know, 10 more incidents for you to truly get the help that you need.
Right. And the other thing that kind of bothered me was the kind of insane privilege perspective that was given. Because if we had had this from, like, I don't even necessarily know, like, I don't remember how much, if any, super poverty like Barb or Ethel were in.
I don't think you really talked about
Like,
that.
necessarily their circumstances, but I don't think any of them had parents who could just buy them houses
No,
and buy
don't.
them cars to get their life back up and pay for this 8-week rehab. And so, again, like, for one, for it to be so successful this first time that she does get help, but also to just have all these avenues set out to her, that's honestly rare, more rare, especially the house stuff that.
But it wasn't rare then. That was normal in that time. I don't want to say normal because,
Well,
like,
yeah, because house costs $10.
I was actually thinking about that. I was like, there's no way in hell people could do that. I mean, middle class people could do that for their children today. And especially with the way that housing prices are, that was such a luxurious thing in that time. But yeah, I think that that's an excellent point. The socioeconomical standpoint of all of that was not the typical.
And I don't know, because even like the things I think about with like Rye, which we didn't get into his actual life, because when he came back home and she followed Rye with his wife, all they really said was that it was like a bunch of veterans in that neighborhood. But the way he grew up in Compton with his dad, where his like business shut down and apparently they didn't have the bank take it and he just lived there in the dark,
I
that
don't
was
know.
weird. But I'm like,
Very weird.
also, there's a lot of poverty too, I would assume.
Yeah.
to not be in business and then just basically crash there at that point. Like, that was weird.
Yeah. Speaking of his father, there was a part of that interaction where Frankie went to go see his father because she was trying to plan a party because he was supposed to be coming home stateside in like 20 some odd days. And she thought that that would help her anxiety and depression and all of that. And she doesn't even introduce herself to him. And he says, "I know who you are." And there's going to be none of that. And that's when he tells her that Rye is dead. Who do you think that he thought that she was? Do you think that he thought that was his wife?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how those things work. He would know more. Like, how does that notification, like, is it parents and spouse?
Usually, yeah.
Because, or like, because it's not like one trumps the other, and like you can only have like one, and then they have to tell the other people.
Yeah, it's you know, at least when I was a military wife, I believe it was like, I mean, that was a whole lifetime ago. It was like next of kin, and it would be the wife or spouse, and then parents or whoever you deem to be notified, essentially. But I don't know if that's how it was in Vietnam era. It was completely different,
Right,
you know.
it's so weird.
And it could be completely different now.
Stuff does change fast. I feel like he had said though, like they came and notified him like 3 days before she did. It's like, how do you think he would have treated her if she would have come 4 days ago?
Right.
Is that kind of why he was so crotchety and dark and
Could have been.
sitting there in shadows?
He
I
lost
mean,
his
he
son. Oh, I don't know. There's that interaction, I think, was probably just put into the storyline because there needed to be a way to notify Frankie that was plausible on Rye being dead, quote unquote.
I also didn't like the way that happened, that they were like notified that he was dead with no remains and then he wasn't, because, and it didn't come up for her, and I feel like it should have, because that was the exact same thing that happened with her brother.
I
And
didn't even
so,
think about that.
yeah, and so I'm like, if that would have happened and happened for like multiple people, like why was she not looking for her brother at every veteran she ran across and thinking that he might be alive or he might come home?
I was so fixated on Jamie and Rye that I totally didn't even put the dots together that her brother could have been one of those people too. Yeah, that's a great point. I didn't even think about that.
And I feel like someone with that kind of grief, like it almost makes it hard because you do not have that closure. And so she didn't have that closure with any of them. And then when a lot of them come alive, like I feel like that would make it so much harder to truly grieve and get closure with her brother.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't know, she saw ghosts of her brother. She didn't see ghosts of the other one. And she did wonder with Rye. She's like, how could I not know that he's dead? How would I not feel it? And maybe that was a clue. I don't know.
Maybe it's foreshadowing. I don't know. I think that I probably almost would have been shook more if her brother was a POW as opposed to like Jamie coming back from her thinking that he was dead or that Rye being a POW. I think I definitely would have been more shooketh, as the kids say. And
You're so hip.
I know. And I think I would have guessed, although those last couple pages of the book when Jamie came back, like I was very shook.
And I feel like too, I don't know, because it was almost like too neat and pretty. And I need to go over everything. So it's like, one, I need her to freak out and wonder when her brother's gonna come back because of the same situation. But two, she's not gonna believe Jamie that he's divorced. Are you kidding me? She's
That
gonna be
is
like,
also a good point.
okay,
Yeah.
bro, I've heard this story before.
Been there, done that. She's gonna be like, okay, let me see the receipt. Let me see the receipt. But I have
So
a feeling that he is divorced. I do. Because his from what it was described at the end, his physical appearance had changed, and that can be jarring. And I think that she was unfazed by it because she saw so much trauma, so much physical I don't want to say dysfunction, but so much physical disfigurement that she's unfazed by all of that. And she's like, no, you're still the same person. And so I think that while that might be a hurdle in other relationships, I don't think it would be a hurdle for her.
No, I agree with that. I could see that.
Yeah.
Still mad about Rye. So, did you like this book?
Oh my God. This is tied with Drowning for the best book I've read so far this year.
Really?
I knew that was going to blow your mind.
I know, because you are a self-proclaimed I hate war stories girl. And this was a lot. Are you less that now?
Huh?
Are you less of that now?
No. I think because this had such a medical component that it didn't feel so combat-y. I know it's very strange, but
Wow. Okay. She saw combat. You just said so yourself.
I get that. I get that's very
Now
contradictory,
you're just
but
proving all their points. Oh my
damn
gosh.
it. I just took one step back for women. Fuck. No, it had such a medical component that it didn't feel like a war book. It felt like more, it felt like MASH. I mean, and she references MASH in there a couple of times, but this is honestly what it felt like to me, and it was just a really well done book. I was expecting to be wrecked, and I was expecting to cry my eyes out, and it's okay that I didn't.
That's probably why you liked it so much.
Maybe, but I really wanted to just like sit down for hours and read this book, and I was like I mentioned earlier in the podcast is this is a really busy week, so I wasn't able to do that. And so I had mentioned to my husband last night, I said, I just really want to sit down for a few hours and just like really dive into this book head first. And I was like, you would be shocked to hear what this book is about and that I'm saying these things. And he's like, what is it about? And I was like, Vietnam War. And he's like, what? When do you like that? And I was like, but this is different. This is
Yeah.
totally different.
Oh my
So,
God. Have you read any other Kristen Hannah books sent before one besides this, obviously?
I don't remember which order I read her books in. I think I may have read Firefly Lane after. Yeah.
I reread that. I liked it more the second time.
Did you?
But
Wow.
I think one of my top favorites might be Fly Away, which is a sequel to Firefly Lane.
I have not read that one.
Good.
I already
I
know the
needed.
answer. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I needed to know in advance in case anyone else needs. I needed the spoiler for Fly Away that, gosh, what's her name?
Kate?
Nope, the other one.
Tilly? Tully? Tully.
Tilly, Tully.
Tully.
I needed confirmation that she did not bond in grief and steal Kate's husband after she died. I was very concerned, very concerned. And she did not.
Okay.
She did not. But I was like, if that happens, like, I will hate that book. I don't even care about like what it's about. Like I will be so furious.
Burn
And
it
so like
alive.
I needed to know before I read that. And so we're good. That does not happen.
All right, good. So I already know the answer to this question, but I'd like you to share. What
Okay.
is your favorite Kristen Hannah book?
The Nightingale.
Okay, so how does The Nightingale, which is another war story, how does that compare to this one for you?
I think I was much more attached to the characters, and it was also sisters, so there were two perspectives, kind of, and I liked that. And they were like just vastly different. But I felt it was more like relatable. Like this one, the women felt more to me like, wow, that all sounds very messed up and crazy. I can't believe that happened. Can't believe people were treated this way. I can't believe this existence in reality was denied. Mind blowing. But I couldn't ever like really see myself in it, if that makes sense. Whereas with the Nightingale, I was like, yep, I'm there. Do that. I totally relate to that. I can see where they all are. It just felt more like actual human experience and could put myself in their shoes better as opposed to being like, what a fucked up time in human history. Have you read The Nightingale?
Yes, I
Did
liked
you
it.
like it?
I did. It wasn't my favorite, but I definitely enjoyed it. There hasn't been a Kristen Hannah book that I've read that I'm like, this sucked. Did not finish. No, it just doesn't happen for me. The caliber at which she is able to pen a story is just, it's one of the highest. I would read her grocery list. We'll go there.
You're so cute. She does take the time. She doesn't just churn them out. Like she takes her time. Did you read the acknowledgments at all, or
I didn't read the acknowledgments, but I read the author's note.
I can't remember if it was in there or which one. But did you happen to read how she was saying how she wanted to write about the Vietnam War when she first began, but she just did not have the experience or maturity to do it yet?
Yes, that was in the author's note.
Okay. Yeah. So I thought that was super interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that she did an amazing job. I'm sure it took a boatload of research and whatnot, but I think it's just well done. Did you
Yeah.
like this book?
Yes. I think on my ranking, it's hard because of how much I love The Nightingale, but I think I almost like her contemporary work more than her historical work. But it's hard because my stuff is so skewed. Like my very tippy top is of course historical fiction. That's The Nightingale. My very rock bottom, it's way down here, you can't even see it, is The Four Winds. All the
You did
historical
not
fiction.
like that one.
I got worried at times that this book would go the same way, and I appreciated that it didn't because, again, there's that whole thread of communism, which The Four Winds is very pro-communism, and this book was bringing it up because that's what they were fighting in Vietnam. But I did appreciate that that was never really the theme. The theme was more so just the absolute insane division in the country and how betrayed people felt and how everything they believed was suddenly brought into question. And so I appreciated that it was not so specific with these beliefs, with political beliefs, and not so just in your face like the Four Winds was. I did not appreciate that. Because honestly, that sucks more. Like, I think this book was absolutely accurate. Like, without even the actual specific labels aside, the fact that no one can agree, everyone just hates everyone, like, it was giving very right now, very
I thought about
2024.
that too.
And like, it doesn't even matter. It just sucks how much everyone hates each other and is so divided and feels so strongly about it.
But if it's any sort of consolation, because I thought about that as well, it does swing in the other way, at least historically, that people, either an event or a political phenomenon happens and it swings back in the other way, that it's more middle ground and that people start getting along again. And I think eventually we'll get there, because if like you think about the 90s, I mean, there was still some polarizing political events, but it was more so I didn't sleep with that woman instead of, you know, what Vietnam was essentially, and it circled back around to everybody getting along again for as well as people can.
No, you and I were polarized by that time, and we still are because, like, you will not admit and see reason that Backstreet Boys are so much better than NSYNC. And I don't know, I don't think we're ever going to get past that. We're so divided. I don't care that Joey and AJ are doing some weird tour together.
Did you see that NSYNC reunited?
For what, where was that?
I have no idea. I actually haven't even
Oh.
I think it was yesterday that this happened, and I haven't even had a chance to even look into what happened.
Okay, yeah, I did see it, but I was like, what is
I caught a headline while I was looking at
this?
the snowpocalypse weather that we have going on in Colorado right now.
So, anyway, sorry, I gotta lighten the mood sometimes.
Was pretty
But
good, though.
so true,
Yeah.
though.
No, it's not.
Yeah, so I definitely will keep reading Kristen Hannah for sure. And I do want to get into more of the backlog because I think a lot more of the backlog is the contemporary, which I think I prefer, but
I
keep
mean,
reading.
my favorite is The Great Alone. And that's kind of, I mean, it's not set around a historical event, but it's set in the 70s, I believe, is the time period. 70s
Very
or
historic.
80s. Yeah, a long time ago. Set in the 70s. So, I mean, it's not set around a specific period, but it's one that's definitely my favorite.
Love it. Good. Well, the good news is I think that Kristen Hannah does know her worth and know her caliber and know the quality she wants to put out. So I think we got at least 3 years before we get another one. Not that, like, not that we're waiting, but we are, you know what I mean? But that gives us time to go through the backlog because sometimes it is hard for like the yearly authors when you're like, I've got TBR mile deep. You're churning out these books. I'm never going to get to your old ones because I'm still catching up on your new ones. So I kind of like, I don't know. Like, I like it. I like her pace. Gives us time because she does have a huge backlog.
Or Rebecca Yarros, who we determined punches out 2 a year, you know? I don't.
Absolutely insane.
I mean, but if you think about it, like the amount of research that I'm sure goes into what Kristen Hannah had to do for this, for the Four Winds, for, I mean, that's the last two books that she pumped out was two historical fiction books.
Yeah.
It's a lot
Yeah,
of
that does
research.
take so much research.
Yeah. And I, in my opinion, and not being a huge history buff, I think that they were pretty fairly accurate.
Yeah, so good for her. Well, thank you, Chris and Hannah, for these books. Like, we do love them. I may have some strong feelings about one of them. Whatever. It is what it
Okay.
is.
I think what's really cool about her too is that we both very much enjoy Kristen Hannah, but we enjoy all the different books. Like, I don't think, except for Firefly Lane, that there's really one that we're like, yes, and we're both like, yes, that is a favorite of mine. So, I mean, that makes her a pretty diverse author.
Yeah, like there's something for everyone. Like, you can't just write her off. So,
Is this a book that you'll recommend to people?
yeah, I'd say yeah, but I don't feel like people need recommendations.
I
She's
don't.
gotten there. People just trust her. Everyone loves her. I don't know anyone who is like, eh, not really that interested, and I've never read anything by her. Usually they're just like, oh, sign me up for anything she puts out. All my book clubs, all my coworkers, everyone.
Yeah, it's he's looking at me like, yeah,
Wrap it up,
I
mom.
hear it.
I will say that, like, I may start throwing it in there, my little recommendation tagline. I'll be like, it's better than the Four Winds. And then all the people who love the Four Winds will be like, wow, this is gonna be amazing. And I'll
Meanwhile,
be
your bar is pretty low for that. Meanwhile, your bar is in
Oh my
the
gosh.
basement.
My bar blew away in the wind, okay? Gone.
It's just tumbleweed rolling across the Kansas plains.
Correct, correct. It is a dust bowl.
It is an actual dust bowl.
Yeah, so all right.
Oh man.
Well, good.
I need an update on Dr. Zhivago.
I honestly, so I was trying to, like, so when I read multiple books at a time, I like either have like a daytime book and a nighttime book or just different. Because we did have a deadline with the women, I stopped reading Dr. Zhivago. I maybe got like two more chapters in which the chapters are so long, which, oh my God, long chapters. But it, like, it's just so, it is so superfluous. Like, the chapters are, again, are so long. And then I read the Spark Notes and like, I feel like I missed something. And I'm like, no, I literally got all of that. It just like literally only takes a paragraph to describe what he went on about for 40 pages.
How,
Oh my.
remind me, this is like a 600 page book, is that right?
Yes.
Oh
Yes,
my
it
God.
is.
How far are you in now? Like 150 pages?
I'm also like 25%. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't
Oh,
know.
man. All right,
It's
I'm gonna keep
rough.
checking in until you're done. I expect a full book
Well,
report
the
soon.
library's taking it back and they wouldn't let me recheck it out because
How
there's
many
a wait
people
list.
are waiting for
There's a
Dr.
wait list. So
Zhivago?
I'm sure, I'm hoping I can just knock it out before March is over, but we'll see.
How many people are really waiting for that book?
Right? They wouldn't let me check it out again. So I have to, I mean, I could have gone on airplane mode, but I don't really want to do that. And I'm going to start other books. So I'll wait till I get it back.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know, and then you can start checking it again. So I'm
Oh,
not going to check it out three times. The next
no.
time, if I don't finish it in time, then that's just a sign that I'm just not, but I will try. I try to give myself like page deadlines. I'm like, all right, this expires in 10 days. Yeah, 600 pages. Like, that's sickness,
Yeah.
maybe. I don't know. Math's hard. But
I don't math.
I try to do that, and it's still.
No, it's so
What are you
hard.
reading now?
I just literally finished this book an hour ago.
Oh, nothing else. Yeah, I just finished this book today and I am not reading anything but Dr. Zhivago. I'm going to read The Testaments next, I think, which is on my TBR. The Testaments is the sequel to The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good.
Actually, it's the New Testament, the sequel to the Old Testament. Just kidding, sorry. Okay. Anyways.
Right. I haven't decided what I'm reading yet. I had a whole bunch of holds come in and lapse and you know the dance. So there's that.
Do-si-do.
Do-si-do, motherfuckers. It's like yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, but with a do-si-do instead of a yippee-ki-yay.
Yes, they do both utilize their mouth.
Have you not seen hey, cheers.
Oh, cheers, babe.
Have you not seen Die Hard? Okay.
No, I have, but it's like
Okay.
do-si-do, motherfucker, and yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Literally nothing in common except for the motherfucker. So, like, yes, Katie, I get
I have that
it.
problem lately. I don't know why I'm mansplaining things.
My children do that, the young ones. The older one probably does too.
Do-si-do,
But my
motherfucker.
yes, she the youngest does that, and it's crazy. She also she'll ask me a question. She'll like, can we go to the park today? And I'll go, no, it is a blizzard out and it's just too cold. We're not going to the park today. And she'll go, no, mom, can we go to the park today? Like, I'm an idiot. And I'm like, I understood the question. No, stop asking me the same question with enunciation like I'm an idiot.
Right.
She's three, does that to me constantly. Anytime she doesn't like the answer, she'll just say it again slower, like I am too dumb. I've got a fun life ahead.
I'm 37 and still do that. So good luck. But I think that I do it more because I'm processing things. I think that that's, it sounds really dumb, but I think it's more of me processing it than like me trying to dumb it down for somebody. If that's
Fair,
any
fair.
consolation, it doesn't come across that way, but that's what it is.
Sure it is. Well, I love you. I love talking Chris and Hannah books with you. I hope you have a splendid evening and all of our listeners do as well. Taylor Swift is about to do some things, and so I have got to go refresh my Instagram for a million times. And if nothing happens, I don't even know what I'm going to do. But that's not going to happen because something is going to happen, you know?
Okay. I
Does
don't know
that make
what's
sense?
going to happen, but I trust you because you got the
I'm
deets.
predicting everything is going to, like, I'm predicting lots of stuff on Disney Plus. Four things to be exact. The Eras Tour
Oh.
being one. So I think we're getting three more things on Disney Plus.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Okay. All right. Well, I will
Leave it to it.
I will leave you to the Taylor Swifting. And yeah, I'm gonna go to bed because
Sweet
it's
dreams.
Taylor Swift time is my bedtime.
My brain just went, sweet dreams, motherfucker.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Dozy do, motherfucker, same thing. They're all the same. All three of those things.
Same. Have you
Yeah.
even seen Die Hard? Every Christmas, motherfucker.
I just want to make sure you don't have the greatest movie selection.
My husband makes me watch that. It's on while I'm like putting presents under the tree, so I can't avoid it.
Because it's a Christmas movie. I'm gonna leave that there. And you have a good night with Taylor Swift.
Good night, always.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
We hope that you enjoyed this week's episode of the Lost Chill Podcast. Please help our podcast to reach more listeners by subscribing and leaving a review. We read every single one together and jump up and down, screaming with glee every single time. So you know we just truly appreciate it. And that is a true story, folks.
It's very true. If you can't get enough of the Lost Chill Podcast, check out our website, thelostchill.com, for blog posts and more fun. Also, consider becoming a Patreon supporter for exclusive content and swag. We are constantly improving and growing our offerings, so be sure to check back often.
If it's additional reviews and cute puppies that you're after, follow us on Instagram at Katie's Lost Chill and at Kimmy's Lost Chill. Follow The Lost Chill as well to get all of the latest information on upcoming books to be featured, upcoming author chats, giveaways, and so much more.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.
Bye.
Aww.